I'm Caleb Brown, host of the Cato Daily Podcast. It is December, and I am once again here to ask you to support this podcast and the broad mission of the Cato Institute by becoming a podcast sponsor. If you support Cato to the tune of $1,000 or more, I'll gladly give you a shout out on the podcast. The only way to do it is to visit cato.org/podcast sponsor to make your donation. Cato accepts no government money. We depend on the generosity of our sponsors to help us advance the values of individual liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Visit cato.org/podcast sponsor and support the Cato Daily Podcast and the Cato Institute. This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Thursday, December 2nd, 2021. I'm Caleb Brown. Tech policy is innovation policy, and innovation policy means preparing for the as-yet unknown advance that could change our lives for the better. Will Reinhart with the Center for Growth and Opportunity argues that the current conversations about tech policy, however important, aren't the critical regulatory reforms that will produce real results down the road.
So we're not at all talking about permitting issues. We're not talking about the more mundane problems that people actually face in starting a business or in trying to create something that's competitive and innovative. And even more broadly within the conversation about content media regulation, we're not at all talking about competitors to Facebook and to Twitter and to all these sites that seem to have so much power. So these things to me are really being lost within innovation and tech policy writ large, which are the more mundane things that need to be happening.
Okay, so what are some of the, give me an example of a entrepreneur who needs something and isn't able to get it.
Yeah, so that's a really tough question because what you're talking about is the unseen. But fundamentally, the way that I conceptualize it is that there are people who out there who are trying to do something new and interesting in the world, and there are oftentimes permitting programs and hoops that and red tape that somebody has to jump through in order to start that business, in order to start that project. And so we see this really endemic throughout the entire United States. It's impossible to get a factory up and running. It takes a lot of time to even get the permits to do these things. It takes, it's getting better to a certain degree, but that's much more of a mundane day-to-day sort of process that needs to be made quicker and faster and cheaper. And all of those things are just not part of the innovation and tech conversation as they should be.
Okay. So within Congress, and I assume this is also true to a lesser extent in state legislatures,
yeah,
there's show horses and there's work horses.
Exactly.
And right now it feels like on both sides, everybody wants to be a show horse and nobody wants to do the sort of mundane, boring, regulatory streamlining that would actually help real people and produce real benefits to everybody else.
I think that's abundantly clear, primarily, and I think that's really being driven by the nature of COVID. People are online. They're not out and doing the things that they used to be. And so they're online and in these spaces, and it's much easier to garner attention, especially if you're a policymaker. We've also seen a very clear shift in how people really interact with politicians. It really has gone online. A whole group of individuals, the one author calls them a shouting class. They have gone online to use these technologies and methods to connect with politicians, to troll politicians, to make these points. And they really have been highlighted, I think, by COVID and obviously enabled by online social media technologies. But really what we've seen is a pretty important shift that the conversation, there are obviously really important conversations going on online related to these kind of fundamental problems that we're facing as a nation. But it seems that the oxygen really is being sucked out of the room by these seemingly, there really is a focus problem that we really, really need to deal with.
Okay. Let me re-ask an earlier question then.
Yeah.
What are the big opportunities that people in Congress are missing?
One area that I constantly worry that we're not doing the right thing in is, for example, space policy. There is this albatross that's hanging over the neck of America, which is the space launch system. And that entire system is now going to be about 3 years beyond what it was actually supposed to, you know, the launch date. So it's about 3 years late. It's billions of dollars overdue. I mean, there's not a national conversation about how to do better in space. And we really should be thinking about that, because we've actually, some really critical changes in the 2000s were able to fundamentally shift this policy area. And the reason why we have billionaires going into space now is because we did better policy in the 2000s. That kind of idea, that notion that if we do policy better, there can be much more important outcomes and echoes in the next two decades. That is just, it's being lost, and it's not being focused on. And space is one area that I think we obviously need to be keenly aware of and to have better agenda in. But there's a whole bunch of other areas as well.
So if I'm going to guess what we did right in the 2000s yeah. about space policy, I'm going to guess that it was clear guidelines and more players can step onto the playing field.
Yes, yes, right? And why is it that that's obviously the answer here? But it is. The contracts, the big fundamental problem was the contract system, and the contracting system still does present some challenges, particularly with the Space Launch System, the SLS. But in 2005, Congress, well, the NASA shifted a lot of the way that they're doing these contracts through a different sort of contractual system. Now they have, you know, very clear guidelines. You have to meet certain milestones, and if you don't meet those milestones, then you don't get any more money. You don't get anything more, and that's a very, very different way of doing things for NASA.
So how do we take those clear guidelines, potentially many players entering the field, to other areas?
That's what I'm hoping to do.
Right. Well, what are the big fat targets for doing that besides space?
The big fat targets right now, I think, are, you know, we spend a lot of money in research and development, and we need to be much better and more intelligent about how that money is spent and the kinds of projects that we're spending them on. We need to figure out about, as I said earlier, some permitting issues about how we actually get projects into the ground, how we get housing developed in the United States. We need to also think, you know, much more broadly about health and how we're spending healthcare dollars and the kinds of money that we're spending in healthcare dollars. Now, obviously, these are big issues, and I don't have a really simple, quick soundbite to deal with them. But these things, to me, are part of a larger innovation agenda. And when we're talking about getting America back to work, and we're talking about allowing people to do the things that they want to do and creating a better world for everyone, that really should be the driving framework, and yet it really isn't.
So Republicans too focused, it seems, on trying to slap down social media platforms yeah. for their content moderation behavior. Democrats, for their part, seem to be, to the extent that they are focused on innovation and the future broadly, Every job a union job.
I think more the that is true, but even with the Democrats, it's just spend more money without thinking about how we're going to spend the money and not thinking about correctly. If you're going to be pushing in a whole bunch of money, you've got to do it right, and that seems to be completely lost.
Well, let
on
me
them
restate
as well.
That for Democrats, the appropriation is the only thing that matters.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. But it isn't, right. You really need to think critically about these problems and about the issues they're trying to solve. So we're about to spend 50-some billion dollars in semiconductors, and it's pretty fundamentally clear that at least the way that it's going to be done, it's not going to be as useful as people think it's going to be. And we're going to spend and probably waste a pretty big chunk of that in trying to put these factories in areas where they probably shouldn't be.
So a lot of that spending, a lot of the spending that Democrats want to do, if I understand you correctly, you want the government to make the process clear so private players can play.
Yes, yes.
And the Democrats, for their part, in terms of like the if the appropriation is the most important thing, they're not particularly concerned about how it's going to be spent. But one of the concerns that I think they should have is to what extent is that spending going to be actively damaging to the rollout of new innovative tech that we might not get because the federal money was spent so poorly.
Yes, and to do a yes and, the old improv method. The other part that I think is not being said in all of this is if you're going to be spending a lot of this money, you need to more critically understand what are the fundamental goals. And those goals really should be that, we want to make sure and ensure that the American, companies and American people have access to the best technologies. And a lot of that means to think critically and more subtly, to be blunt, about what we're trying to do with this money. Now, all of this is kind of dancing around the problem, which I am trying to dance around, which is that we really don't know where some of these spaces are going to go in the next 10 years, in the next 15 years. And so pumping a whole bunch of money into this right now may not be the solution, because you're basically creating, stranded assets. You're putting money in areas that shouldn't have
it's industrial policy for tech.
Exactly. And that really is a very hard, hard problem to deal with. And it's not an easy way to think critically about the way all of this it should be done.
So tech that's already been rolled out, that will continue to roll out, that we're just now sort of discovering our tools. And I think a lot of people are just now getting their heads around the notion of what the actual purpose of it is cryptocurrencies.
Yes.
And how those things interact, what they're able to do in terms of taking rents out of certain industries like banking. We're just sort of learning what that potential is. And yet we already see massive attempts by the feds to tax the hell out of it. And it seems like exactly what you're talking about. It is punishing the thing that we would like to see where it goes.
And you're trying, the effort, I think, is trying to squeeze the juice out of what is seemingly people making money in this space, right? I mean, that makes sense to me. And yet, we're not talking about, for example, geothermal, how to get the contracts, the federal contracts right, to ensure that we're allowing these, nascent companies that are in hard tech science to do interesting geothermal research, which mostly has to be done, or at least will have to be done on federal lands. And yet, that sort of conversation is not being noted here either.
Right, but clear rules, many players, if they're trying to punish people who are trying to make money in a space, which is to say above normal profits,
yes,
in a space, the best thing you can do to squeeze profits out of those spaces is clear rules, many players.
Exactly, exactly.
Will Reinhardt is a research fellow at the Center for Growth and Opportunity. Subscribe to and rate the Cato Daily Podcast pretty much anywhere. And follow us on Twitter @CatoPodcast.